Well, I want you to know you can be ready. And instead of the second coming of Jesus Christ being something that's a fearful thing, a dread to you, you know, I preach on prophecy times to time, you know, and I even preach one place, they said, every time somebody preaches on prophecy, it scares me to death. Well, if you're not right with God, amen, Jesus is coming is a scary thing. And I have to admit, if you are right with God and you look at the judgment that's going to be on this wicked world, it ought to stir you up a little bit, make you want to be ready for Jesus to come. But at the same time, there is a comfort and a hope about the coming of the Lord when somebody's really right. Amen. There's not a tremble in your soul except excitement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read from Revelation chapter 13. I emphasize the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because he that said, I'm going to come out of the grave, said he's going to come again. But the Bible likewise tells us about the coming of another one that would rule this world. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about this, preach to you, pray that God would help me. I sure am in need of him here tonight. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast, which I saw, was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, some of that I'm not going to get into, all the typology. Some of it has to do with the kingdom of the beast, but there is a person, a ruler here, that the Bible calls the beast, that's over the kingdom. Y'all understand that. Later on, there is one that most believe is a false prophet, the leader of the religious realm of the beast. Verse 16, and he, this one, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Notice that, the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Or 600, or 666, as most of us know. Now, I'd like to preach upon the mark of the beast here tonight. Would you, once again, I know we've already prayed, but I'd like for the Lord to help me. Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, that called me to preach and put your word inside of me, I'm praying that you would please use me to speak the things that people need to hear this very night. I realize that this subject is in some sense a fearful thing to most. And I'm praying for conviction as well as inspiration to come from this message. If you would help us and set us on the right paths of truth. If you would open up our hearts and let us see with understanding the truth of your word. And I give you the glory for it all. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I said, I would like for everyone here to be ready for Jesus to come. And the Bible always points the church to looking for the return of Jesus Christ. However, there is a warning about the coming of that last great ruler of this world that we call the Antichrist or the beast. But I'm just going to tell you, folks, that there is indeed a spirit of Antichrist that works right now in our midst. In 1 John, the Apostle John was informing us that there was many Antichrists back in his day. In verse 18 of chapter 2, he says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come," that's that ruler that I read to you concerning, "even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And it talks about how that some went out from them. In verse 20 it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." There's a distinction there, isn't there? Praise God. So if you're a child of God, you don't have to worry as long as you keep that unction or anointing from the Holy One upon your life. But there is a spirit of Antichrist that's working even now in our world, and we need to be aware of the spiritual battle that we are in as a church. And sinner friend, backslider, if you are here tonight not serving God, not ready for Jesus to come, I want you to understand that you are yielded and opened up to this last day spirit. And it is indeed a fearful thing to not be ready for Jesus to come, but to be more prepared for the Antichrist to come. Friend, I'm here to warn as well as encourage the church. And if God would help me here, I'd like for the anointed people to stay anointed. And I'd like for the church to grow in number, because there's folks turning their back upon the evil of the prince of this world and following the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got 3 points and I'm going to try to preach to you. Amen. I will not cover everything about the end time. You'll probably still have some questions. And I don't want to just necessarily bring up questions in your mind, but I do want you to understand that there is a spirit that's preparing this world, and there is a ruler that will come. The things that are written in Revelation and Daniel are just as good as history. Amen. They have not happened yet, but God has already foretold them and pulled back the curtain beyond the future. And we know that this is about to take place. Amen. And so as I look into the future with the eyes of the prophets that God has given to us, I want to speak to you about the beast and the nature of the beast that shows us the nature of his spirit that's working right now. The mark of the beast that still enlightens us about the control that he is going to place upon people's lives. And thirdly, I want to talk about the number of his of this 666. Amen. Which shows really to me the defeat of this Antichrist. And I hope y'all will help me preach here tonight. Amen. First of all, we've got to realize that there is an end time kingdom that was prophesied in Daniel and Revelation that will one day come about. And in order for us to understand about the mark of the beast and even the spirit of Antichrist that works right now, we have to understand something about this man that we call the beast or the Antichrist. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, amen, Daniel is praying to God about the end of the 70-year captivity that he is in. And God gives him another revelation, a revelation that 490 years are determined upon him and his people. Amen. And even to the end of time. Amazing things took place. Now you talk about the inspiration of the Word of God. Amen. Now if you read it, he'll say 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon Jerusalem and so on. You can read it later. Amen. Please don't catch up on your Bible reading while I'm preaching though. Amen. Amen. But 70 weeks to us, we would think of weeks of days. But the Jews didn't just have weeks of days. They had weeks of years. They were to work 6 days and rest the seventh. They were to work their crops 6 years and rest the seventh. Part of the reason they were judged for 70 years was for 490 years they did not observe, amen, that 7 year rest. And God allowed it to rest for 70 years while they were captive in Babylon. Amen. And so Daniel was praying about this, and God said, amen, I've got 490 years determined upon your people. Amen. 490 years, 70 weeks of years. Amen. And the first 483 years are going to be between the time when that there is a command to rebuild Jerusalem. Amen. And Messiah the Prince. You can look up the dates if you want to. But when, amen, the Medo-Persian king gave permission for them to rebuild Jerusalem to the time that Jesus came in, amen, in his triumphal entry is exactly 483 years. Amen. I want you to understand there is mighty, amazing prophetic power, and God is very exact in his date setting. Amen. But at any rate, there is a gap that I see as the church age, amen, between the 483 years, amen, and the last 7 years, the last week, amen. And in that last week, the Lord said through Daniel that there would arise a ruler that would make peace with Israel for 1 week. Amen. And in the middle of the week, he would break his word and invade Jerusalem. Now, there's several things you got to consider. At the time that Daniel wrote this, Israel was not a self-governing nation. There was no temple there. Amen. The Jews were not inhabiting Jerusalem. And so he was prophesying that Israel would be a nation in the last days. He was prophesying that the world would want peace in Jerusalem in the last days. And he was prophesying that there would be a leader arise in the last days that would make a peace treaty for 7 years. And this would be the final week that God had determined. Well, I want you to know what I think about that ruler there. He comes out of the old Roman Empire, according to Daniel. Amen. But he's also a liar. Amen. He's a liar because he makes peace, but then he breaks his treaty and makes war. That is just like every spirit of sin, amen, that will come upon you. There's a forceful way where it promises great things, great pleasure, great peace. And maybe at the beginning it seems as though, amen, that they're able to fulfill some of that pleasure. But how many knows there is pleasure in sin, but it's just for a season? There might be enjoyment in sin and backsliding for a little while, but there's always a price tag to pay when you make a deal with the devil. Amen. And there'll be war. There'll be death. There'll be destruction. There'll be things come upon your life that you never thought possible. And so here it is. The spirit of Antichrist still does the same. Amen. He will come. Amen. Whatever he offers it and makes it seem very good, but it's always ending in destruction. How many people could we speak of the destructive power of sin? Amen. I know a man right now that got involved in pornography. His family tore apart, his heart full of hatred and bitterness, and possibly facing murder because of murder charges because of this. What happened? He got this beautiful idea in his mind, a fantasy, a fiction of what sin would do for him, and all it did was destroy his life. Oh, I'm preaching to you here tonight. Don't be fooled by the spirit of this age. It promises great things, but destruction is ahead, my friend.
Oh, yes. Hell, yes. I also see that there's a supernatural power that flows from this demonic leader and his false prophet. Amazing things take place, even a false resurrection. Amen. Where the beast, whether he fakes it or whether it's real, and it seems as though he dies and comes back to life. I want you to know, even if it is real, he'll never duplicate what Jesus did, because Jesus died and rose from the dead to die no more. This man's going to be in the lake of fire, which is the second death, one of these days. My friends, I've got to preach to you and tell you, no matter how many signs and wonders that the devil gives, amen, there is a deception by every trick that he has. There is a deceptive spirit in this world that is not of truth. It's not of right. It's not of God. And I don't care how many miracles that they have, if gravity loses its power and they can dance on the ceiling, if they're not preaching Jesus crucified and raised from the dead, it does not matter. If they're not preaching this black back book and Jesus the only way to heaven, hey man, no miracle can take the place of the greatest miracle, and that's Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Oh, yes. Don't be deceived by false miracles. Don't be deceived by trickery and foolishness. Amen. This one is a beast. He is a beast which speaks of his low nature, his ferocious, out of control, wild nature. And I want to ask you, is not our world becoming ferocious and wild, out of control, almost like animals? If you're talking about a violence, there's a violence about mankind now that was not or in prominence in this world just a generation ago. Oh, there's a violent, wild spirit here. And if you're talking about the morals of animals, there's a lowness about the way people are living. It's a wickedness. It's an out of control, lustful spirit. It's got a hold of some people. And, oh, it's a damaging thing. It's a destructive thing. It's tearing families apart. It's hurting little children. Listen, it's wild. You can't trust it. It's out of control. And yet, for whatever reason, we have people that promote the out of control, perverted, and almost put down the old-fashioned moral people in our world. Hey, man, I remember back a while ago when a college football player, I believe his name was Sams, came out of the closet as a homosexual, and the president of the United States at that time called him, and they were heralding him as a hero. I want you to know, friend, that is not a hero. Amen. He is a sinner, and he needs to repent of his sin, just like an alcoholic needs to pray through, and a drug addict and an adulterer needs to pray through. He's not a hero. He needs to get saved. That's all. Amen. Don't exalt somebody for their wild behavior and make them into a hero. Another title of this Antichrist is the man of sin, or the man of lawlessness. Could I say this to you? It's amazing that sometimes in our country, criminals are heroes and law enforcement is looked upon as the bad guys. There is a lawless spirit getting in our country and even in our world. And it's even getting in the church. I understand that we cannot be saved by the law of Moses. God instituted the law of Moses as a schoolmaster to teach us some things. He taught us that we were guilty by the law of Moses. He taught us that we needed a blood sacrifice by the law of Moses. But the blood sacrifice of lambs and goats and turtle doves did not pay the full and complete price. Oh no. Amen. The law of Moses could be divided into the civil law, which was for the nation of Israel. It could also be talked about as the ceremonial law that was like an object lesson of how God's going to save us. And then there is the moral law of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And if somebody here thinks that Jesus came to destroy the law, I want to preach to you and tell you Jesus himself said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill it. You know what he did? He fulfilled the law. He was the perfect citizen. He was the perfect righteous person. He never violated the moral laws of God whatsoever, and he fulfilled the ceremonial laws. And somebody say, well, the law's destroyed. No, it's not. It's still in effect. In Romans 13, we're still supposed to be good citizens of whatever country we live in. And, hey man, I got news for you. We still need a blood sacrifice. We just don't need lambs and goats and bullocks. We have the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. He didn't destroy it or do away with it. He fulfilled it. And that's a big difference, my friend. You say, well, we don't need a high priest anymore because Jesus destroyed that. No, he didn't. He fulfilled it. We don't need Levi's descendants. We don't need Aaron's descendants. We got a high priest, a perfect high priest, a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And for everybody that says, well, since we're saved and under grace, we don't have to live by the moral law. Amen. The Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law of Moses could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I know some people say that's a positional righteousness. And I know you're wrong, because he said, who walk not after the flesh, which is everything that's against the law, but after the Spirit, which is everything that's above the law in holiness. And so I'm preaching to you, we've got a bunch of preachers nowadays, amen, that's got a spirit that is just like this, if I could say it, like the Antichrist, because he's a man of sin or a lawless man. And you get a preacher that's a lawless preacher, hey man, I want you to know, you say, well, you're a legalist. No, I'm not. I trust in Jesus totally for my salvation. But I believe Jesus is enough not only to pay my debt, I believe he's got power enough to deliver me from my sin. Oh, glory to God. And in the New Testament, I've got to remind you that sin, according to John, is still the transgression of the... Amen. Y'all know your Bible pretty good. Amen. It's still the transgression of the law. The man of sin is a lawless spirit. Lawless. It exalts the criminal and puts down the law. In the same way, it's going to be a lawless spirit in the church. A lawless spirit wherever man does that which is right in his own eyes. He's a beast. He's a man of sin. He is the Antichrist. That word anti can mean two things. First of all, against, and secondly, instead of. And there's a lot of people, amen, that are against Christ by their life. They can talk about loving Him all they want to, but if you say you love Him and you do the things that nailed Him to the cross, how much is your love? Oh, if you really love Him, you wouldn't want Him crucified, but He had to die for our sins. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I know He had to forgive me, but I don't want to do one thing after He forgave me that sent Him to the cross. I don't want to be entertained by it. I don't want to look to it. I'm preaching to you and telling you that there is Antichrist, but there are people that put things instead of Christ. What is your number one passion? What do you really get excited about? Who do you really love to talk about? Can you talk for hours on a subject other than Jesus? Can you spend time, amen, praising His holy name? I want you to know, if you've got something instead of Christ, oh yeah, this may be tight, but I'm trying to lift up Jesus Christ and bring down this Antichrist spirit that'll try to get a cheap substitute in there. Oh yes, Satan will inspire man to do evil. This world has seen many, many evil men rise. Hitler was demon possessed and slew many multitudes of people, but he's only practice. Stalin came in, and listen, if you think that communism is a good thing, I think the communist in the 20th century killed 20 million Christians. Amen. Because they would not go along with their government. Their government is God. Their religion is government. And I fear that's the way that many Americans have become. Right now, we got to get back to where God is God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only Savior. The Bible is the only book. Amen. And going to heaven through Jesus is our greatest purpose. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And so there you have it. You have this beast. That's His nature. But we have the mark of the beast. We have this mark that's going to be done. It's going to be an economic thing. And I'm not going to get into all of the technical stuff. Y'all have probably studied it way more than I have. But there's been studies about putting those chips in people's hands and, amen, identifying them as they go into their employer, and also in a certain university in Washington, they put a chip in some students' hands and it acted as a credit card or a debit card, and the students and the parents was really happy with it. Oh yeah, that's not the mark of the beast, by the way. But it does show the technology is there. And if Hitler could invade Poland, and I think it was less than a month, have all the Jews carded and had them identified, what could the Antichrist do in a few short days with all the technology we have right now? It's in place, my friend. The economic system's in place. I can go to Panama and use my credit card and get the bill in Falk, Arkansas. I can go to Ukraine and use my credit card and get the bill. I can go to Nigeria and the same thing. I want you to understand, this is a world economy. We have it all connected and it's all getting ready. And some people would have made fun of the Bible years ago, but now we know, amen, what was said back years ago, before the age of computers, before the age of what we're living in science. It's all possible. It's an economic thing. And this is what I want to bring out. Some people have theories that the economy's got to collapse for this to happen. And that's possible. But I'm just going to tell you, I think all that's got to take place for this to happen is for people to love money. If economy collapses or it's booming, If somebody can promise them a better economy, they'll do whatever they have to do to go along with it. It'll be more than just having my little baby something to eat. It's going to be a promise of prosperity beyond this world. One of the end time gods is going to be the love of money. You mark it down right now. It's going to be the love of money. And I realize I thank God for Him meeting our needs. I'm grateful for it. But I'm also going to tell you the love of money is the root of all evil. And there will be people that will follow after. I want to ask you something. If you got a job that was going to pay you three times more than what you're getting right now, but you had to move somewhere where there wasn't a church you could raise your children, what would you do? Would you lose your soul for a job? Would you lie for your employer just to keep it? Where are your standards concerning this? Friend, you got to understand, there is a spirit behind this. What is this all about? It's about money. It's about prosperity. It's not just about eating and food. It's about our economy. Well, a fella's got to make a living. I used to invite this one fella to church all the time. He said, well, I just can't go to church on Sunday. I got to work all the time. And he said, you know, you got to make a living. A man's got to live. I got to thinking about that. You know, a man does not have to live, but a man is going to die. And you better be ready to die. And it'd be better to take a cut and pay and go to heaven than it would be to pad your pocket and live in a palace and die lost and go to hell. Oh, yes. It's going to be economic, but it's going to be spiritual. Every place I read in, after it talks about the mark, it talks about they that worship the beast or the image and take the mark. It's going to be a connection. They're going to show their loyalty to that leader. The whole world's going to wonder after the beast. Everybody's going to be impressed with him. Everyone's going to wonder. How in the world? Who can make war with the beast, they'll say. This one that died and rose from the dead. This one that has this prophet call fire down out of heaven upon people. What can we do against this mighty warrior, they say. Oh, God. There's people that's been afraid of the mark of the beast, so afraid they's going to take it by accident. You're not going to take this by accident, friend. It's going to be an outward pledge of loyalty to the Antichrist and his kingdom. Oh, God. It's going to be something where everybody knows who you're loyal to. Revelation 13 and 15, it says about this false prophet, he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Oh, yes. Verse 8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I know there's people here tonight that say, boy, I'm too smart. I'm too smart to do something like that. If Jesus comes and I miss that, or if something happens and the Antichrist rules or whatever happens, I'm too smart. I was raised in church. I know better than that. If your name's not written in the book of life, you're going to be fooled, my friend. You're going to be deceived. And some of y'all are walking down the road of deception right here tonight. You say, Brother Lord, you're getting all stirred up. I'm stirred up because I feel like God's stirred up. Oh, judgment comes upon those that receive this mark even before they die. In Revelation 16 and 2, and the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast upon them that worshipped his image. Notice, they took the mark and they worshipped his image. And upon those that are alive when Jesus comes to earth in Revelation 20, 19 and 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The bad news is there's people going to hell without taking the mark. Although if you hear a preacher tell you you can take the mark and still be saved, I fear for that preacher's salvation. There's some things so plain in the Bible, and I'm not going to call names, but there are big name radio preachers that's preaching and saying that you can take the mark and still be saved. And I think, what other deceptive things are they saying across the radio waves and deceiving many multitudes into going to hell? And 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity. That's another title, amen, for this spirit of Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That is old English for he who now hinders will hinder until he's removed out of the way. Amen. You know why the spirit of Antichrist can't do everything he wants to? There's still something that is restraining the spirit of Antichrist in this old wicked world. Oh yes. But one of these days, that spirit's going to be taken out of the way. One of these days, the restraint is going to be gone. And if the devil is this bad right now, if there's this type, amen, of beastly activity, amen, of lawless activity, of antichrist activity going on now, what is this world going to be like when there's no restraint? Oh God. And then shall that wicked be revealed. After the restrainer's out, the wicked, this Antichrist is going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. He said, I can't keep you right there. He's going to be consumed. He's going to be consumed with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are they going to perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, I've got to preach to you right here. I got a question to you. Do you know the truth? That's good if you know it. I want to ask you, do you love it? I didn't ask you if you accepted it. That's true, Brother Lloyd. Because the Bible didn't say that these people perished because, you know, they didn't accept the truth. They perished because they did not receive the love of the truth. And there's a big difference right there. Can I tell you, there are folks on our church pews that believe what the preacher preaches as true, but they don't love it. You know, you love the truth if it beats you black and blue and you still say, preach to me, preacher. If it hurts, if it gets to the very sin I love the most, tell me the truth. Hey man, if it's the most, if you tell me what is from the Bible and it's right there in front of me and it's God's Word, listen, if it hurts me, it'll help me if I repent of it. If it wounds me, I'll be wounded, hey man, with a good wound that can be healed by the grace of God. But preach me the truth. Preach me holiness. Hey man, I love the truth. I love it if it's patting me on the back and saying you're doing good. But I love it if it's convicting me and bringing me to an altar and causing me to cry and weep. These people are going to believe the Antichrist because they had the truth revealed to them, but they didn't love it. Do you love the truth tonight? God help me. God help me. Oh, yes. That's the mark. Now the number. The Bible says it was a number of a man. And six. How many of y'all will raise your hand and say, I've studied a little bit of the numbers in the Bible and six is the number of man. Would you raise your hand just to back me up? You see these preachers and Bible scholars. I'm not just saying something off the top of my head. The sixth day was when man was made. You understand? That's the first principle there of that. But anyway, well, I go on, but six is the number of man anyway. But somehow this is the number of the name of this man. I cannot tell you exactly how that is. I cannot explain to you, amen, until after we're over on the other side and it all works out just right. But I want you to know this. Amen. The Greek and Hebrew alphabet has a numeric system with it along with ABC, like our ABCs. And it is possible that this man's name in Greek or Hebrew would actually add up to 666. I don't know. I really don't. It could be some other odd or strange thing we have not learned about or heard about just yet. I want you to know right now, amen, that sign is going to be, amen, an understanding of who this fella is. But just because somebody's name in Hebrew or Greek adds up to 666 don't mean they're the Antichrist. There's got to be other stuff. They got to do a peace treaty. There's several other things that have to go along with it. My name might add up to 666 if it was translated to Hebrew or Greek, but I am not the Antichrist. I don't care what some of my church people think. Amen. Glory to God. I think my church people like me real good, by the way. I'm just joking. I hope you understand. This number is going to be used to identify the followers and worshipers of the Antichrist. Those that have pledged allegiance to the beast, they will take his name upon them. It's economic, it's worship, but it's identification. I belong to him. I've taken his name. But I want you to understand this. That's a pretty poor, pitiful, weak name to go under. So what name do you identify with? What name do you go under? What name do you look to for protection? What name do you look to for salvation? In the day of judgment, what name do you long for? Hey man, I want to hear the church say the name that we identify with. Could we say it together? Hallelujah. Who's going to be our Savior? Who's going to deliver us from judgment? Who delivers us from our sins? Who do we trust in? Who's our provider? Hallelujah. That's a strong name right there. That's a strong name. I feel sorry for all of these losers that's identifying with a loser. God's already said he's going to lose. I want you to know Jesus defied death. Jesus died upon a cross and rose again from the dead. You talk about a winner. You talk about power. power. He's got power over death, hell, and the grave. And I want to be identified with Jesus. Oh, yes, I do. Woo. He's the basis of what I inherit. You talk about an economic system. I'm going to have a mansion of gold one of these days. Hey, amen. I know some people sold their soul for gold, but gold is so worthless in heaven, it's just pavement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory be to Jesus. Amen. I hope y'all forgive me. Seem like I'm saying amen a lot to me tonight. If y'all say amen more to me, maybe I wouldn't say amen to myself so much. Y'all are helping me good. I'm just joking. Just joking. Y'all doing good? I want to be identified with Jesus because you talk about an economic plan. I'm going to be set not just for life, but for everlasting life. You talk about a health care coverage. I'm going to get healed of everything that ails me, including death. And I'm going to be there in heaven forever. I'm going to be able to shout and not lose my breath. I'm going to jump up and down and not be sore the next day. I'm going to worship God and my voice ain't going to roar out. Hell, I want to come under His name. Y'all know too that 7 is the number of perfection in the Bible. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. One fellow said it's God's lucky number. I don't think so. It's God's number of perfection. And so this number that is this man's name, 666, is a prophecy of his failure. Because 666 never adds up to 777. Amen. 666 is always less than perfection. I don't care how powerful, how glorious, how wonderful it may seem at first, how big he talks about it being, how great, who can make war with the beast, and all the world wondering after him and all of this stuff. The truth is 666 is always less than 777. Always is. And no matter how the beast tries to imitate perfections of Christ, he always comes up short. He always will be short. The satanic trinity will always be less than God's perfection. The rule of the beast will always be less than perfect. The provisions of the Antichrist will always be less than perfect. But I also got something else to tell you. The name Jesus, when they take, when they take the Greek alphabet and show the numeric value of it, it always adds up to 888. Woo, glory to God. The Antichrist is always one less than perfection, but Jesus is perfection plus. He's perfection plus. He goes beyond perfection. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight serving the devil, if you backslid on God for any reason, I want you to know it's never going to be up to what the devil's told you it's going to be. But Jesus is perfection plus. Salvation in Christ is always better than what you can imagine it. Oh, Brother Jim Richardson, I wish I could tell a bunch of his stories, but anyway, I'm running late on, I'm in overtime again. And he told me he had a lady that was a good Christian. Her husband was really mean. And all of a sudden, he came to church one night, and he thought to himself, oh no, what's he going to do? Is he going to beat up somebody? What is going to happen? He said, I was scared when I saw him come to church. But conviction fell, and the man got saved. He got saved that night, and after he got saved, he just sitting there weeping and crying so happy. He grabbed his wife. He said, honey, why didn't you tell me it'd be this way? She said, I've been trying to tell you for years and years it'd be this way. But he said, you never told me it'd be this way. She said, I've been trying to tell you it'd be this way. But he said, honey, you never told me it'd be like this. She said, I've been trying to, but I could. And they went back and forth, but he was rejoicing. Salvation was better than he ever thought it could be. That's exactly the way Jesus is. The devil's always worse, but Jesus is always greater. Oh, he's perfection plus. Also, you guys that studied the numbers, you know that 8 is the number of new beginnings. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's one of these days there's going to be a brand new beginning, a brand new start in this old world, and Jesus is going to be the start of it all. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to be the start of it all. Mr. 666 is going to meet Mr. 888 in a battle of the centuries. Mr. 666 is going to bring his nuclear weapons and armies from all over the planet. And Mr. 888 is going to come, amen, with the saints. And they're not going to have armor on. They're going to be riding horses, but just dressed in white robes. You don't need armor. When you've been raised from the dead, and you got immortality, the devil can't kill you with a nuclear bomb. He might as well just go on and quit. He's a loser, I'm telling you, he's a loser. Whew. Oh, yes. And so Jesus comes back in the battle of the centuries, 666 versus 888, that old beast. Versus the lion of the tribe of Judah. That old goat, he called the false prophet, meeting the Lamb of God. The dragon meeting the warrior with the sword that comes out of his mouth. Oh, hallelujah. The mystery of iniquity meeting the mystery of godliness. A man fully possessed by Satan himself meeting Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, the prince of darkness meeting the light of the world. The liar meeting the truth. I'm just going to tell you right now. Amen. Jesus is going to be the winner. And I hope he wins in your soul tonight. Because there's a battle going on for somebody's soul. It's the prince of darkness versus the prince of life. It's death versus eternal life. It's hell versus heaven. And I want Jesus to win. Oh, yes. Whew. And church, a good way to just make sure that you ain't never going to go that way, you keep that unction from the Holy One. And could we all stand here tonight? Could we all stand? I could preach on. And I'm going to give an opportunity. Is there a backslider? Is there a sinner here tonight? And say, Brother Lloyd, I'm on the wrong side. I accept the truth, but I don't love the truth. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead, but I'm not ready to give my life to him. It's time for you to quit all this false talking and get sincere and honest with God. Repent of your sins. If you're a backslider, you better come before it's way too late. Right now's your chance. Right now's your opportunity. And I'm asking you, in the midst of these loving people right here, would you get out of your seat and come down to this altar and say, I'm going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Would you come right now? Church, would you raise your hand, ask God to give somebody the ability right now to walk away from sin, to walk away. You've got a chance right now. There's still hope. Yes, there is. You're not in hell. you had done a sin that's beyond forgiveness, you can be saved right now here tonight. God bless. There's someone else that'd like to come to this altar and admit your need. Church, I hope you're praying, because only by praying are we going to break this spirit. There's a spirit that got a hold of people. I've tried to lift up Jesus. There's somebody say, I need to come to this altar and pray.